evening, everyone. Let's stand and start with number 2 tonight. Come thou fount of every blessing. Number 2. And we'll sing all the verses as we start tonight. Number 2. Let's sing together.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it. Name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place, and I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you. You may be seated, and we'll take some requests. Which songs would you like to sing tonight? $4.94. All right, Like a River Glorious, 494. Let's do First and Last.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Trust him wholly, find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest.
551. Right, soon and very soon. Let's sing, we'll just go straight through it. All the verses.
Soon and very soon. are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more doubt.
We have a verse 3. Oh, is that the second ending there? Oh, that's how it goes. Sorry, I got all confused. All right, verse 3.
What's a third ending?
There we are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thanks for sticking with me on that one. All right. One more. Which one? 58? Okay. 58. Okay, let's sing the first and last. This is My Father's World.
This is My Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me the music of the spheres. This is My Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is My Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is My Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be
everybody got a sheet. If you didn't get a sheet coming in, there's a music stand and there's a chair and there's some music on there. We're going to start with this one that I found today. So sorry, you get to be my guinea pigs, but the name I Love the Church sounded like it might fit based on this morning and what we were talking about this afternoon or this evening. So I Love the Church. There's 6 verses. Get out your microscopes so you can read those words. But we'll just try to go through it once and see how it goes.
I love the church, the flock bought with Christ's blood, sheep gone astray. the bride whom Christ pursued. Poor and unchaste, yet chosen, loved, and wooed. Our groom and head in love laid down his life to sanctify the church, his cherished wife. May Christ be praised, preeminent, adored. I love the church because I love her Lord. I love the church, my family, sinners estranged, made one through second birth. In selfless love, Christ claimed us as his own, and that same love from each to each is shown. May Christ be body, spirit led, each part distinct, yet one through Christ our head. Each member serves, and thus our body grows, strengthened by gifts the Spirit wise bestows. Christ be praised, preeminent, adored. I love the church because I love her Lord. I love the church, the temple God indwells, built by our triumph over hell. Founded on truth, apostles' doctrine sure, we build on Christ, our cornerstone secure. May Christ be praised, preeminent, I love the church because I love her Lord. I love the church, the pillar of God's word. We will exalt the truth till all have heard. We will oppose the lies of erring men, that God in grace may turn them from their sin. May Christ be praised, preeminent, adored. I love the church because I love her.
And if you'll stand, we'll sing this song on the other side, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I find a place to stand and wonder at such mercy that calls me as I am. For discard me. Old wounds which tell me come beneath the cross of Jesus, my unworthy soul is won. Beneath the cross of Jesus, his family is my own. Once strangers chasing selfish dreams, now won through grace alone. How could I now dishonor the ones that you have loved? Beneath the cross of Jesus, see the children called by God. Beneath the cross of Jesus, the path before the crown. We follow in his footsteps, where promised hope is found. How great the joy before us, to be his perfect bride. Beneath the cross of Jesus, we will gladly live our lives.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Those are keepers, right? Excellent. Why do we love the church? Because we love her Lord. Wow. Great, great song. Thank you, Chris, for leading us in those. Good to see you tonight. I hope I haven't promised more than I can deliver, but you'll be the judge of that in a minute. But let's commit the time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful for the privilege of being part of your body, the church. We are amazed at your grace that has made that so. And to be a part of it with these dear people of like precious faith, thank you for that. What a privilege. And we rejoice in what you've done, and we rejoice in what you continue to do as you build your church. So we thank you. We thank you tonight for the privilege of being together again and talking more about this mystery, this marvel called the church, and what it means to be a part of it, and what it means for each of us individually as members of the body. We ask that you would just guide our time tonight. Make it profitable, Lord, instructive, edifying, and helpful, each of us would find that place, find that niche that you have for us in this body, and do that ministry that you've gifted and called us to do. And above all, give us a greater love for each other that grows out of our love for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning we said that the church is a body and every believer is a body part. That means that the question we all have to answer, we all have to wrestle with, is which body part am I? Which body part are you? How do you figure that out? Every part is vital and every part is must function. So it's imperative that we know which part we are. What should I be doing in the body, and how do I know that? And I promised that I would try to help you with that tonight, and I want to try to do that. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In verse 18, he says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body." So tonight I want to help us think through that. What member of the body are you? There are many. There are a variety of different members, and they're all important. And God has placed each one in the body just as he desired. So we want to know, all true believers want to know, where do I fit in this thing called the body of Christ? And I want to just give you some things to think about as in terms of just how to figure that out, how to kind of dial that in your own life, so that you can focus more precisely on that thing, that area of ministry that the Lord really has equipped you and fitted you for. There's four ways, I think, to sort of figure it out. And you really do kind of have to figure it out. There's a little bit of trial and error. There's a little bit of just trying things and doing things and seeing how people respond. But there are some specific things we can think about, at least, and that can help guide us and direct us in this journey of being a part of the body and being the part that God would have us to be. So four ways to figure out which body part you are. The first one, I would say, is that we all need to focus, first of all, on the purpose of the church. You have to keep in mind what is the overall purpose of the church. Okay, if that's what the church is for, then that's what my part is for, right? So what is the purpose of the church? And I think we could, I mean, just to simplify and break it down into a way that's kind of easy to remember, the three E's, right? Evangelism, equipping, and exaltation. The purpose of the church is evangelism, right? Matthew 28, 18 and following, the Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, so go, or as you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. So obviously, that's an essential component in what the church is supposed to be about in the world. Evangelizing, spreading the gospel, taking the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person. Okay, so there's a vision, there's a purpose. Where do you fit into that? Are you to go? Are you an equipper that helps prepare people to go? Are you a giver that supports people to go? I mean, there's lots of different ways to be involved in that purpose, but we all are really to be focused on that. We're making disciples of all nations, which means taking the gospel to them and teaching them and baptizing those who believe and then building up that body of believers and teaching them to obey all things that Christ has commanded. So, you have to think about that, first of all. Missions, evangelism, outreach, that's a part of the church's purpose. So maybe that's a part of what you're, maybe that's the area that you fit in the body, in that sort of a ministry. The second leg of that would be equipping or edification. In Ephesians, we looked at this morning, Ephesians 4, that verse 12, where he says that Jesus has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, obviously, part of the purpose of the church is to build up the church. You know, we can't neglect that. And some churches really excel at evangelism and missions, but they neglect the equipping and the edification part of just developing people and teaching people and helping people grow to maturity in Christ. So that's sort of another leg, if you will, another part of the church's purpose and function. In Colossians 1, Paul speaks of that in his own case, his own ministry. In Colossians 1:25, when he says, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the ages, past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And he says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." Okay, that's what his ministry was about, to present every man complete in Christ. And he says, "For this purpose I labor." All right, so that certainly has to indicate to us a part of the church's purpose. The purpose of the church is to build up the church and to equip people in the church and to present every man, every person in the church, complete in Christ, perfect and mature in Christ. So that's an area where you could say, okay, when I think about where I fit, is it evangelism? Is it missions? Is it outreach? Am I, you know, do I love to get out there and mix it up with unbelievers and share my faith and share the gospel? Is that kind of how I'm wired? Or do I think about Bible studies and teaching and getting with groups of believers to pray and encourage one another? See, you have to think about that. Do you love to study the Bible? Do you love to teach the Bible? Do you love to talk about theology? You know, when you think of needs in the church, do you think the answer is always, this is kind of how I am, the answer to every problem in the church is more teaching? You know, more Bible study. Or maybe it's not so much teaching or public being in front of people or a group, but you just love encouraging, counseling, one-on-one, praying with people, visiting with people. But it's ministering the word to them to help them understand and help them apply the scripture to their life. So that would be a thing to look at. The purpose of the church is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry to the building up of the body of Christ. Is there a part of that that, you know, excites you? The third leg of the church's purpose is then also exaltation. You know, we exist to evangelize the world. We exist to equip the saints and build up the body. And we exist to exalt God, right? To glorify God. That's the ultimate purpose of the church, to glorify God and to manifest the glory of God to the world and to even angels. But worship is the ultimate thing. In Ephesians, Paul talks about this as well. Ephesians 3:10, he says, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places," which I take to be angelic beings, perhaps even demonic beings. But what he's saying is that his ministry and the ministry of the church is really to be a display cabinet, if you will, for the wisdom of God, to put on display the manifold wisdom of God, see, through the church. So the church exists to glorify God and to be the window through which people and angels see how glorious and how wise and how good and how gracious and how awesome our God is. In 3:21, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So, what's the purpose of the church? It's to be to the glory of God. God is to be glorified in the church. That's its purpose. So, exaltation, worship, glorifying God. In Ephesians 1, verse 6, where he talks about these spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ, our salvation. All of this is to the praise of the glory of His grace, verse 6 says. Verse 12, it's to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. Verse 14, to the praise of His glory. So you put all that together and say, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. The purpose, big picture, of why the church exists on planet Earth is because through the church, God is glorified. It's to exalt Him. And that's the ultimate thing. Worship is ultimate. Everything else is a means to that. But that's ultimate. Is that every being would worship God. And so the purpose of the church is to promote that. To glorify God. To be the display cabinet for His wisdom and His grace and His glory, and everything finds its consummation in the praise of His glory. So naturally then, a big part of church is worship, right? Obviously, I mean, that's the Father seeks true worshipers. And so as a church, that's what we want to develop, isn't it? We want to see sinners turned into saints, and saints turned into servants, and servants turned into worshipers. That's what we're about. So you just have to say, okay, well, what part of that interests you? You know, what part of that gets you excited? That's probably where you need to get involved, you know. Is there an existing ministry in that area that you could plug into? Then that's probably where you belong. That's where you should start. So if the purpose of the church is to exalt God and to equip the saints and to evangelize the world, the question is, what part of that do I gravitate toward? What part of that do I naturally tend to be inclined to want to get involved with? What part of that purpose do you find compelling and irresistible? You know, start there. Just start there. You know, are you an evangelist? Do you love sharing the gospel? Are you a disciple maker? Do you love taking a new believer and training them and teaching them and helping them grow? Are you an equipper? Are you an encourager, a teacher? Do you get excited about worship and praise and music? So that would be one way to sort of think about it, to figure it out. What is the purpose of the church? Oh, yeah. Which part of that do I really get fired up about? Well, maybe that's where I belong. Here's another way, I think, a very practical way to think about that. When you look at our church, this is really helpful. When you look at our church, what stands out to you as a glaring weakness? Right? What stands out to you as, why doesn't somebody do something about that? You know, that's maybe a good indicator. What is it that's missing in our church that you would say is a weakness that just drives you crazy? You know, that makes you lose sleep at night. You should probably pursue that. That's probably an area where you belong. You start praying about that. You start talking to some people about that. Because what bothers you or what burdens you is probably how you're wired to minister in the body. All right? So that would be the first thing. What is the purpose? Focus on that and then say, okay, where do I fit in that? A second way, um, just to think about what I call the generic duties of all Christians. Okay? And just focus on saying, okay, I don't know the particulars of what I'm supposed to do in the body, but I know there are these generic duties that all believers are commanded to do, so I'm just going to do that. And that's a good place to start. Because regardless of what we want to do, okay, there are certain things we're commanded to do. We all are. And what I'm thinking of specifically is all the one another's, you know, all the one another commands in the New Testament. I think there are like 35 or so of these one another commands. And you see them as you read through the Scripture, but just to maybe go through and make a list of those: love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, reprove one another, admonish one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, comfort one another. You know, build up one another. You see all of those in the New Testament. Well, study those. Think about, okay, what would it mean for me to obey those? I mean, that's stuff that every believer is supposed to do. You know, your child may be a very gifted pianist, you know, and all they want to do is practice and play the piano. But you keep reminding them what? Hey, you still have to do your chores, right? I mean, doesn't matter how special you are, you still have the same generic responsibilities as everybody else in the family. So do that. Do those things. And recognize that faithful in little will be entrusted with more. See, some of us need to stop looking for that unique, special thing you're supposed to do and start doing what you know you're commanded to do. And that will be the place then that the Lord will begin to direct you to maybe something more specific. Charles Ryrie wrote a little book on the Holy Spirit, and in there he has this chart, a really helpful chart, where he shows that there are some gifts that are given to some in the body, and yet there's a corresponding command similar to that gift that's given to all. For example, Romans 12:7 lists serving as a gift, right? A spiritual gift. And yet Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another. We're all supposed to do that. Romans 12:8 lists exhortation as a spiritual gift. Well, Hebrews 10:25 says we're all to exhort one another. Romans 12:8 lists giving as a gift. And 2 Corinthians 9 says, really, we all should be giving. You know? And the same is true with teaching and showing mercy and faith and evangelism, see? So It doesn't do to say, well, you know, I'm gifted to do this, so I don't have to do that. No, we all have commonalities, common ground, generic duties that we're all responsible for. And frankly, if you aren't being faithful in those areas, then why do you need to know more about what body part you are? You know, do that. Start doing those things. Be faithful in those things. Because whatever your spiritual gift is, it doesn't exempt you from those generic duties that are required of all believers in the body. So I would say, when you aren't sure, when you don't know what to do or what else to do, just maybe go through those that list of one another's. Pick two or three of those and then try them out on somebody. You know? Find somebody to love one another, serve one another, encourage one another. Find somebody that needs to be evangelized and evangelize them. Find somebody that needs to be encouraged and encourage them. If somebody that needs help with something, go help. It's not rocket science, is it? It's, you know, What do I see that needs to be done? Go do it. Find something good to do that needs doing and go do it. You don't need a title. You don't need a name for what you do. Just do those generic duties. And another thing to think about, you know, because whatever your gift is, okay, what's it for? It's for the building up of the body. So find ways to build up the body and you will be using your gift. Does that make sense? Don't worry about figuring out what is my gift. Just focus on building up the body and your gift will find you. When I was a summer missionary one year back in the 80s, 85, 4, 6, somewhere in there, I was summer missionary a couple of three different summers back in my college days, and on one occasion I remember I got discouraged about why I was there and what I was supposed to be doing, and you know, I was homesick probably mainly. But a friend of mine wrote me a letter and said, "Hey, why don't you just make a list of all the things that you could do. Just make a list of all the ways that you can, right where you are, serve. Write down some things that, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do, but what could I do? Well, I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this." And I did that, and guess what happened? My blues went away. And before I knew it, the summer was gone as well. So that's just a very practical thing to think about. It doesn't have to be something radical, you know? I think that's the thing, that's the hang-up, is that we all want to do something radical, and maybe you're just supposed to do something ordinary. See, just do something that needs to be done because it needs to be done. And so look around at the people in this church. Look around at the needs in this body. What needs to be done that I can do? That's all you have to ask. What needs to be done that I can do? And just do that. Engage in good deeds. Didn't Paul say that? Engage in good deeds. So I say that'd be a second thing. Obey the one another commands of Scripture, and you will have plenty to do. You'll have plenty to do. A third way to kind of figure out which body part you are, obviously relates to spiritual gifts. I mean, at some point you have to think through this. You have to kind of discover and develop and use your spiritual gift in ministry to the body, because the Scripture commands us to do that. So let's talk a little bit about spiritual gifts, and I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, but just some basic things. First of all, what are they and where are they? You know, there's lists, right, in the New Testament. You know where they are? You have one in 1 Corinthians 12. You have one in Romans 12. You have a little list in Ephesians 4:11 we read this morning, and you have an even shorter list in 1 Peter 4:11. So let's look at these. Get your Bible and just I want you to just lay your eyes on these again. I know you've seen these a million times, but think about these lists with me. All right? There's four lists, you know. And each list is different, isn't it? So what does that kind of tell you? It tips you off right away that maybe what we don't have in the New Testament is any kind of comprehensive list. Like, the point isn't to say, okay, here's the 13 different things you can be. Which one are you? It's not a comprehensive list. There, in fact, maybe is no way to name them all. To name all the different gifts, we would have to name all the different people in the body. But the lists are there to give you at least some kind of an idea of the kinds of ministries that the Spirit empowers us to do. So it's important to not get hung up on identifying your gift, but at least the gifts or the lists are helpful to think about. Oh, okay, those are some of the ways that maybe I could serve in the body. And maybe it's some combination, you know, of all those different things. But first, the first list, Romans 12, verse 6, I guess. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Okay? Seven different gifts listed right there. All right? Any of those grab you by the neck and say, hey, dummy, that's you, you know? All right, what about 1 Corinthians 12? They're kind of enumerated here a couple of different ways, but verse 28 is probably adequate for what we want to do here. 12:28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healings, healths, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Okay, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? So what does that tell you? There is no one gift for every believer, right? So anybody that tries to tell you, what, you don't speak in tongues yet? Let me fix that for you. All believers should speak in tongues. If you have the Holy Spirit, you'd be speaking in tongues. It's not what Paul says here. But he lists some things. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healings, helps, administrations, tongues. So there's another list, right? And it's different. It's different than Romans 12. Any of that look familiar to what you do and how you think and what you'd like to grow up to be someday in the body? And then Ephesians 4, similar to that list, 4:11, he gave some as apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay, and based on the grammar there, we lump pastors and teachers as maybe one thing instead of two. But anyway, apostles and prophets, which I take to be the foundation of the church, done, not a position that's open anymore to us. But evangelists could be, that would be a kind of a church planter. And then pastors and teachers, obviously, that stay in one local church and teach and shepherd the flock there. So that's another way to list the gifts. This time they're listed not so much as gifts, but as men, right? People. And Jesus has given these people to the church. They are his gifts to the body of Christ to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So you have to look at those lists and say, well, maybe that's what I am. Maybe that fits. And then the other list, which is my favorite, 1 Peter 4, 11, or 10 and 11. Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What a verse. That's very important to grasp. Okay? Each one has one. Okay? You have a special gift. What are you to do with it? Employ it. Use it. In doing what? In serving one another. Why? It's a matter of stewardship. Okay? So you aren't being a good steward if you aren't using this gift, this special gift, this grace that has been given you, this expression of the manifold grace of God to you for the body's good. It's a matter of stewardship. So you have to recognize, oh, I do have one. Each one has received it. Which one do I have? And how am I going to employ it in serving one another? And then he describes his list. Verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How many gifts are there? How many kinds? Two, right? Two. You got speaking gifts. And what are you to speak? The utterances of God. And you have serving gifts. And how are you to serve? By the strength which God supplies. I like that list. That simplifies it. Okay. I'm horrified of being in front of people, so I guess that one's out. What does that leave? Serving, right? So that might be very helpful for you. To just, you know, cut right to the... can eliminate half the list right off the bat, you know. But that, it just all comes down to that, doesn't it? I mean, if it's all about building up the body, then at some point it's all about speaking-oriented gifts, where we teach and we exhort and we encourage and so on, and serving kinds of gifts, where we do things that people need us to do for them. So it kind of comes down to saying and doing. Saying and doing. Which way do you think you're more wired? And maybe it's a combination. Hopefully it is some kind of a combination. But which one are you more inclined toward? Whichever it is, you have to use it, Peter says. Employ it. Put it to work. Put it to work, you know. Use it as a good steward of the grace that God has given you. So you have to think through those lists. That's what I would say. And I'm not asking you to circle one and say, that's me. I'm just saying, think about the list and the variety of ways that represents then. If you take all those lists and multiply them out into all the different combinations that could be reflected there, you know, gives you an idea of, oh, okay, maybe the kinds of things that the Lord would have me to do in the body. And I would say that as you begin to do that, as you begin to employ it, listen carefully, as you begin to use it in service to one another, listen to the feedback other people give you. Listen. Don't be so stubborn. I don't care what they think. I'm going to be this. No, you got to listen. You got to let them help you, right? They will. People will help you. They will help you figure out, no, you're not supposed to be a youth minister, you know, or no, you're not supposed to be a Sunday school teacher. You got to let people help you figure that out. See, that's why the body is the context in which we minister these things. Because it's the body that helps us know, hey, am I really helping to build up the body here when I do this? No, you know, you're probably better suited for... Let people help you with that. I think of Paul's instruction in 1 Timothy 4:14 to Timothy, where he told him, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Ooh, how many of us can say that, you know? But the point there was, the presbytery was the elders, this body of elders who laid their hands on Paul as if to say, we recognize your giftedness and we affirm that. You need to be doing this. So, you know, we all kind of need to look for that. When I do this ministry that I think is what I'm supposed to do, what do other people say about that? How do they feel about that? And I think for Timothy, you know, maybe he was doubting. Other people had already affirmed what he was gifted to do, but he was doubting that, maybe questioning that a little bit, feeling ineffective. And so Paul says, no, you can't trust your feelings on that. You have to listen to the input of other people about that. Because your feelings about your effectiveness are going to wax and wane, believe me. But listen to what other people are saying. So think about those gifts and then ask people for feedback. Ask. Dare to ask. You'd be surprised what they might tell you. The fourth thing that I would say, just as another little maybe helpful factor in all this, is just consider that, you know, God may be calling you to a specific office within the church. So you have these generic, you have the purpose of the church we're all about. You have the generic duties that we're all responsible to obey. You have spiritual gifts that we all have one of. And then in the church, you also have these specific offices. And maybe, you know, you're suited for the role of an elder or a deacon. So, you know, you might be thinking about that. Lord, is that the direction that you're inclining me toward? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says in verse 1, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine work he desires to do. You know, and so if you have maybe a certain aspiration to that, it's not just ambition for the sake of, you know, being in control or being in authority, but you desire the work. And what is the work of an overseer, of an elder? Well, it's teaching sound doctrine. It's reproving those who contradict. It's shepherding the flock. It's ruling and leading and overseeing ministries. And maybe the Lord is gifting you to help with that, to be a part of an elder team in a local church like this, where you can use your gifts in that particular way. Or maybe it's to serve as a deacon. You say, what do deacons do? Everything the elders don't want to do. That's basically what. But the body needs them. They're kind of special agents of ministry and mercy. So maybe evaluate that. You know, is my sort of constant agitation or frustration or lack of contentment because the Lord is calling me to something that I don't know if I really want to do that or not. I don't know, Lord, really? So maybe you need to pray about that and ask other people for their input on that. If that's something you aspire to, then you need to talk to us about that. So those would be the things I would say if you're trying to figure out which body part you are, to think in those four areas: the big picture, purpose of the church, which one of those legs really gets you excited, evangelism, exaltation, equipping, the one another commands, you know, to start with that. If I say to you tonight, people, look, just serve one another, okay, just go minister to somebody. All right? You would all do that in 100 different ways. See? And so the point is that however you would fulfill those one another commands is probably how you're gifted. You know, I could say, you know, so-and-so just needs to be encouraged. Go encourage them. And some of you would bake cookies. And some of you would want to sit down and share Bible verses with them or preach a sermon to them, right? Some of you would just go show up and crank the mower and mow their yard. Some of you would send them money in the mail. In other words, how you would serve one another is a reflection of how you're gifted, how you're wired. Okay, well, we need that. We need each contribution. And then spiritual gifts, which one, you know, in the list characterizes you, or what combination, or which one What do other people say is one that characterizes you. Let that sort of direct you. And then specific offices of elder or deacon, do you aspire to that? Do you want to be a pastor or an elder or shepherd? Are you inclined toward that? Do you think about that? Do you dream about that? Good. Good. We need you. We want you to. So start preparing for that and doing those kinds of ministries and just see where it may lead. But that's really the key. The thing I would say tonight, look, start doing what you want to do, that you can do, that you have opportunity right now to do. Start there, and the Lord and other people will help you. Now, let me tell you my story, just in closing. When I got saved, I was a student at Texas A&M University, and I was pursuing a degree in, guess what? Chemical engineering. Yeah, how do you get from that, from there to here? Well, I'll tell you how. One step at a time. That's how. I couldn't see the whole picture back then, but I could see that whatever God wanted me to be and do, it involved the local church. So what did I do in college? And I just got plugged into a local church, Central Baptist in Bryan, Texas. And there was a youth pastor there, Tim Skaggs, who took an interest in me, and he started discipling me, and he started getting me plugged into youth ministry. And then I was, you know, ministering to this group of boys on Sunday nights, teaching them. And I was terrible. I was terrible at it. But it was an opportunity, and so I said, okay, I'll do it. And then the next year I heard about these summer missions opportunities, and I said, I want to do that. I want to try that. And I went two or three different summers and spent a summer in Austin, another in Kansas, teaching kids, going to camps, doing vacation Bible school. And then about the middle of my first senior year, I began to think, well, maybe God's calling me to full-time ministry. You know, I'd really love that. I'd really love to be a pastor. Would that be something the Lord would want me to do? And so I started to think about that and pray about that. And then I started talking to other people about that. What do you think about that? And none of them said, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, they were all affirming and encouraging. So I pursued that. I said, well, all right. So after we graduated from college and got married, we loaded up and moved to California. And my cousin had moved out there to Rancho Cucamonga to start a church. And I said, we need experience. We want to learn. Let's just go. So away we went. And after a year or so, I figured out if I'm going to do this, I need training. I need some seminary training. And so I applied to the seminary and they accepted me. So I took that as it's God's will for me to go and do that. And God provided financially for us to do that as we just slugged our way through working. And but all during that time, I got involved in ministry at Grace Community Church. I did everything I could find. I just said, well, I'm going to get involved in everything and get a wide, you know, exposure to different things. So we served in children's ministry and senior adult ministry and young marrieds ministry and just really everything they would let me do. And because I knew that whatever the Lord had for me, it was to be about the local church and serving his body that way. So I wanted all the experience I could get. Then when I graduated, I wasn't sure what to do or where to go. But the Lord made it real easy for me. There was only one option, one church that had an interest in hiring me. So I said, well, that again, that must be God's will. You know, when you have one choice, that's the one to pick. So I did. We moved back to Texas, and I became the associate pastor of First Baptist Church in Prosper. And then, you know, the rest, I mean, here we are. But so what I'm trying to just say to you is, look, just start. Just start serving. You don't have to know the whole picture. God will put you where you need to be, but it all begins with you doing what you want to do, what you have the opportunity to do, what other people are asking you or encouraging you to do. So start there, and if you will, and you'll be faithful and keep growing and learning and being available, the Lord will direct your steps. Our boss has lots of jobs, and he has one for each of us. But what he's really looking for is not your ability, but your availability. So maybe the place to start is simply, as I say, find one person and say, you know what? I'm just going to find out everything I can about that person, and I'm going to minister to them however they need me to minister to them. The church is a body, after all, right? People. So whatever your ministry is supposed to be, it's to be a ministry to people. So find one and do whatever they need you to do. And remember what the goal in all of this is. Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So what are we all pursuing? Christ-likeness, right? So any way you can help someone be more like Christ is a valid ministry in the body of Christ. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time today to focus on these practical things, and I pray that this will have been helpful and edifying, Lord. Thank you for this body. Thank you for each member and their different ministries, Lord. We all want to be better equipped so that we're more effective and fruitful. So continue to direct us, Lord, and give us wisdom and help us to talk about these things with each other and help give direction to each other, especially maybe those who are struggling to figure out what their place in this body is. May they not grow discouraged, but just continue to find ways to serve and see your hand direct them as they do that. Lord, all of this is for the building up of the body, not of ourselves, but of the body. And it's ultimately to the glory of Christ and to the glory of God. So in all that we do, may that be our motivation. And may you be pleased and praised through it all. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I think someone is serving us supper tonight, so be thankful and enjoy it.